From WGBH Radio and PRI, this is Innovation Hub.
Innovation Hub is sponsored by State Street, partnering with institutional investors worldwide to create the way ahead.
Welcome to Innovation Hub. I'm Kara Miller. Today, we're going to look at building things that last, whether it's a city or a company or a body of knowledge. Let's start with a company that has inspired a lot of young innovators and whose products I bet you have, or at least you had them. They're known for building things and then tearing them down and then building them up and then tearing them down.
Lego is here. Hey, kids, look, a whole new world to build.
This young girl's a Lego fan.
Lego is undergoing a renaissance right now, after having had a near-death experience a few years ago. David Robertson is the author of Brick by Brick, How Lego Rewrote the Rules of Innovation and Conquered the Global Toy Industry. David Robertson, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kara.
So this may be a bit of an existential question, but where do Legos come from? Who invented them?
So Lego started out as a failed carpenter named Ole Kirk Christensen that couldn't get enough wood for furniture, so he started building toys out of scraps of wood. And that did fine. He invested in an injection molding machine against the wishes of his then-grown sons who were in the business. And then they started experimenting with plastic toys. His two eldest sons actually left the business because they thought that plastic was the wrong direction and started off another company. But his third-born son, Godfred Kirk Christensen, took over the company. And he was on a ferry boat ride with a buyer from a department store. And the buyer said, "We would like something that's not another box with a toy in it. It would be better if it was a system of play. Something where if you bought more than one, they would fit together in some way. Do you have something like that?" And Godfred went back and he looked at his different toys that he was offering and he found the little stackable brick and began experimenting with that. And a few years later, patented the knobs on top with the tubes underneath, the Lego brick that we all know, in 1958. And that's how modern Lego was born.
Most of us think of Legos in schools everywhere, in houses everywhere, under sofa cushions, you know. But about a decade ago, Lego really ran into some problems. What happened to Lego as a company?
Yeah, the genesis of the problems actually started earlier than that, in the late 90s. Lego was convinced, as a lot of companies were back in the late 90s, that they were being disrupted by the virtual, the digital, and that they were going to be left behind. And it wasn't just Lego. It was Hot Wheels and Barbie and all the other traditional toys. And so they challenged their designers to come up with the next great play experience, to think outside the brick, outside the box. And the designers did lots of experimentation, lots of creative ideas. There was a couple of successes, but there was a lot more failures, and the company was close to bankruptcy in 2003.
So that's interesting to me because you hear so many people talking about that you have to do things differently and you have to be really creative. And here they were trying to be creative. Why did things fall apart in such a serious way?
It's actually a really interesting example of how to respond to disruption. If there's some new technology out there that is really changing the market. You know, Lego was convinced that they had to adopt that technology, but what they learned, almost by accident, is that they didn't need to respond that way. That actually the right way to respond to that disruptive effect was to adopt that technology, but also to not leave the core behind. You know, the successes that they had between 1999 and 2002, one was Bionicle. It was a buildable action figure, very different from traditional Lego, but very successful. They also had Lego Star Wars and Lego Harry Potter, which of course had very rich stories attached to them.
New Lego Harry Potter. The final battle has begun. Can you help Harry and his friends save Hogwarts?
New from Lego Star Wars. The rebels need to destroy the Death Star. You can build Luke Skywalker's X-Wing starfighter.
Lego Star Wars and Lego Harry Potter were really popular, but only in years in which there was a movie. And the reason they almost went bankrupt in 2003 was because there was no movie from either franchise in 2003 or the first half of 2004. But they did learn a lesson, which is that if you can innovate not just in the brick itself, the boxes of bricks, but if you can tell a story around it, if there's a little game, maybe there's a web application, maybe there's some promotion at McDonald's, you know, with a Happy Meal toy, and you can create this whole set of complementary products and services and innovations that you put out all at the same time, that you can really get kids caught up in the story. And when they get caught up in the story, then they want more of the bricks, more of the toys. And it leads to this virtuous cycle where the more toys they get, the more stories they make up on their own, and the more toys that get sold when they try and play out some more of those stories. So the digital didn't disrupt the physical. In fact, if kids play with virtual Lego, they want more plastic bricks, not less.
So if being loyal to the core product is so crucial, as you say, I'm guessing it does not feel to you then like Lego has sold out by having Lego Mutant Ninja Turtles or Lego Simpsons or Lego Cinderella's Castle. I mean, that those things do not detract from the brand that Lego is, because you certainly see partnerships all over the place.
Yeah, well, I think that let's look at it the other way. So say you are a shareholder in Lego. What would you advise the company to do? Their patents have all expired. There's fickle customers, really aggressive competitors, and not just in the core toy, but in lots of other possible toys that kids could play with. If all you offer is a box of bricks, you're going to be out of business pretty quickly, because somebody else is going to do it cheaper, faster, right, better than you. So you have to tell a story. You have to have a game. You have to have some way of really grabbing attention. And so Lego licenses Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Lego Simpsons, and these other properties because they want to tell different stories around the brick. That's the only way they're going to survive. And the latest example that we're seeing of that, the Lego Movie, is just the next evolution of that.
The Lego Movie.
I'm going to talk like Batman. Gotta talk like that.
Rated PG. Starts February 6th.
Let's go do an entire virtual feature-length movie. And then at the same time, let's put out a dozen different kits that are featured in the movie that kids can play. And of course, when they watch the movie, they want the kits. When they play with the kits, they want to watch the movie again. And, you know, Lego, of course, is making money each time somebody buys a kit or watches the movie.
Well, you've said that the CEO of Lego has said our innovation process at the company is so deeply ingrained in the culture that I could like go on vacation for 3 months and it would still keep going, the sort of innovation process we've got going on. So what is the secret sauce there?
Well, that's one of the things I like about Lego, is that they are not the hero approach to innovation. I don't think Apple is this way, but the way Apple is written about was, you know, Steve Jobs at the top and this brilliant guy who demanded insanely great products and got involved in every step of the process. And I don't think Apple really worked that way in reality. But Lego explicitly doesn't work that way. They've set up a system where they give their teams the space to be creative, but also the focus and the direction they need to be, you know, successful, to be profitable, to develop the kinds of toys that Lego needs them to develop. And that's a hard thing to do well. You know, creating a system where there's not one Steve Jobs at the top, but there's lots of Steve Jobs all over the company, that's a real accomplishment.
How do you get a steady stream of innovative people to come to a place? The Lego headquarters are 3 hours from Copenhagen. You know, you always hear about, well, Twitter is in downtown San Francisco. The new trend is that companies are setting up in downtown New York, downtown Boston, you know, these sort of hubs of, and that's really where the workers want to be. They don't want to be in office parks anymore. And here you have a town that is pretty far out of the mainstream, and yet Lego sort of keeps pumping out innovation. How does it happen?
Well, I think a lot of people don't live in Billund. They actually commute an hour's drive to Billund so they can live somewhere interesting. I think they're also pretty good at reaching out. There's this thing called Kuso, which they actually moved away from that recently, and now it's the Lego Ideas platform, where they take ideas from outside the company and use them to produce products. You know, for example, they're putting out a Lego version of the Ghostbusters vehicle or a Lego version of the Back to the Future, the DeLorean time machine. And those ideas actually came from fans from all over the world. The DeLorean time machine came from a Japanese inventor. And so they're becoming more open. You know, there's still a little bit of insularity in the company. It's kind of as you'd expect from a town that has 3 miles of nothing in every direction, which is Billund, Denmark. But they really do, I think, push themselves to open up to ideas from outside the company.
I have a more personal question for you, which is, I know your son has competed in Lego robotics tournaments. So take us to one of those. What does it feel like? What does it look like?
Well, I got to say, both my son and my daughter, they're 16 and 14 now, so they've left Lego behind. But back when he was doing that, it is an amazing experience, these Mindstorms robotics tournament. It's called First Lego League.
All right, team's ready? 3, 2, 1, Lego!
And you get thousands of people cheering and yelling, and you get these robots going through these really sophisticated challenges. And these young, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-olds programming these robots to do really amazing things. If you haven't had a chance to do it, you should really go to a First Lego League competition. I led a team 1 year as a coach just because, you know, I think investing in that is probably the best investment you can make in your kids' ability to support you when you're older.
David Robertson is a professor at Wharton. He is the author of Brick by Brick, How Lego Rewrote the Rules of Innovation and Conquered the Global Toy Industry. He also hosts Innovation Navigation. David Robertson, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
With Lego, you can build buses and houses and bridges and helicopters, even the new safety rail on the Sunnydale Bridge.
Helicopters, a tow truck, telephone pole, down on Main Street.
Lego Building Set 145 has wheels, windows, movable shutters and doors, and hundreds of bricks for building. There's no end to Lego.
When we come back, how to squeeze success out of a city, even if your foundation is sand.
You know, Dubai's location used to be a disaster. It's way too hot. Its port is very limited. But from an air perspective, Dubai's an amazing location.
While we're on break, go check us out on Facebook and tell us why Legos were or are important to you. If you've got a picture of something you've built, we want to see it. From PRI and WGBH Radio, I'm Kara Miller, and this is Innovation Hub.